All right. This says report.
Calling to order the May CBA meeting, special meeting. It is May 11th. Time is 6:32. Let's begin with a roll call. Matt Dingy from the EDA.
Bob Vessel, EDA.
Jennifer Dieter, EDA.
Tommy Boston, EDA.
Dave DeFusco, EDA.
Wilson. Oh, go ahead.
Neil Pate, staff.
And then members from the public, if you could introduce yourselves for the listening audience.
Lori Elton's resident.
Lisa Cunningham, Standard Drive.
Ryan Hogan, resident.
Brian Hogan, Carol Hogan. Bridal Path.
Great. Thank you so much. Let's start with any public comment, if there are any. Lisa.
Yeah. So just on your agenda, again, I want to request that these meetings be hybrid. And if you have an agenda item about the transcription software, and if you reconsider making them hybrid, since you have a town staff here, you can use the Microsoft account to easily transcribe your meetings in Teams, and then you can reduce meeting minutes via Copilot. So it would be time saving for everybody. On the Canton Village application, I do have some comments. Specifically, on their design, their second design, and even their first design, I don't see how it's easy for walkability for non-residents of the potential plaza. So for example, how would someone walk safely from the hardware store to the coffee shop and back again if it's meant to be a plaza that's supposed to be walkable, like with the town center feel? And then on the second design, I don't see the private recreational open space, and I thought parking islands were not included in that. So I don't like the second design for that reason. I also wanted to know why the buildings are pushed back from Route 44. I thought that they should be closer to the road. I thought that's what the Form Based Code was. And I was wondering, should the green space or private open space or recreational space, whatever it's called, be on Route 44? Like, how is that beneficial to the potential residents? Could you consider having underground parking there? And then lastly, the usable green space for residents would be desirable and would contribute to the long-term success for a mixed-use design there. So I just think that those are some things that to be considered there. And then lastly, on the East Gateway Design Village District zone map recommendations for changing, because 51 Albany Turnpike or 50 Albany Turnpike, they want to change their office buildings to residential. That specific property is referenced in the POCD as being a challenge to enter and exit onto Route 44, so potential traffic hazard. It's also used in the POCD as an example of a desired building design. So unless they're gonna refurbish those buildings, if they plan to knock them down, I think that that would be a detriment. And lastly, the CROG study, there are no planned improvements for Route 44 in that area. There's no sidewalks in that area, and there's no bike route. So the bike trail extension past the shops hasn't been designed or approved there. So in essence, if that property was to become residential, exactly what happened on Daynard Drive, complete island. Everyone who lives there has to have a car. Nobody can walk anywhere, and that's not really building a sense of community. So I don't feel that area is suitable for additional housing unless transportation improvements are installed and utility infrastructure is stable. Those are my comments. Thank you very much for the opportunity to speak at your special meeting.
Anybody else? Barbara?
I want to give you this information. In when I lived in Bradenton for a year, they had a whole Village of the Arts. They took a a whole section of residential areas that was just there, some empty houses, some not, and they turned it into this whole art village that was very successful, and not everything had to be a part of it. So it still remained a regular walkable community, but it brings in a ton of tourism. And I just think that the Collinsville area, including Maple Ave, where the historic homes are, but if you took one, you're not changing the historic structure of the home, but you're taking one room in the front and using it as for art purposes only, not for, you know, businesses, not real estate, not food purposes or whatever, but if you had even a yarn shop is art of some sort, you know, just, but it brings in a ton of tourism, and it brings in a sense of community to that whole area that was just nothing.
Is Barbara, is this for us to keep, or did you want it back?
It's available, that's online, so.
Yes.
Thanks, Barbara. Anyone else? All right, very good. Let's begin with agenda item number one, the strategic plan. Tommy, I went through it again. I think it's in good shape. These are just my comments. I don't know if anyone else has any.
Sure.
You know, I do think it'll be a living and breathing document that could be updated as we move along. So with that said, you know, I'm sure we could, meeting by meeting, keep kicking it around. But from my perspective, I think it's ready to be adopted. And then essentially, you know, my thought would be revisited at each meeting.
Absolutely.
To see if we're on our track, if we need to make any changes to it, so on and so forth.
Sounds good.
That sounds great. Yeah, I took everybody's thoughts and comments and incorporated them in the track changes version, added a note that we don't exercise any land use or regulatory authority, added a little bit more about our structure and composition, the resources and capacity to kind of drive that discussion, added that vision statement, and took that from other components and other documents that were kind of built up over the years, separated out the goals to make them more clear, and then the strategic initiative stayed the same for the most part. So,
I'm not looking at it right in front of me, but there, as part of that initial statement, is there something that indicates that we are not a regulatory agency? We do not approve land use applications. We have no authority in that.
So I added a note that says, as an advisory body, the EDA does not exercise land use or regulatory authority and does not make zoning, permitting, or development approval decisions. Our role is to research, analyze economic conditions, provide informed recommendations, and advocate for policies, programs, and investments that support the town's economic vitality. So we kept
Great.
It.
That's in. Perfect. Yeah.
Awesome.
Perfect.
Great. Anyone else have any feedback or comments? So I guess we should make a motion to adopt the strategic plan?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Tommy, thanks. Excellent. That was really good work.
Absolutely.
Facade improvement program, no real updates this meeting, although, as I mentioned last meeting, I want to get on the Board of Selectmen's calendar to present it to them in a formal way, but I thought it'd be best to wait until the budget season is come and gone before.
If it ever leaves.
Yeah, yeah.
If it
ever leaves. So that should be within the next couple of months or so. I'll get on their schedule. Anything on the Axe Factory, Neil?
Let's see. We are doing the underground testing now that we've got better weather. That's recommenced again under the DECD Brownfields grant. We actually did submit and get authorization for a change order approved from DECD. I don't know if everybody remembers, but we were originally given $200,000 for a variety of scope of work. But then when we went out to the private sector and got bids, some of the work items that were you know, planning related and not environmental testing related were higher than expected, and it offset state requirements that, you know, only so much percentage of the funds can go to certain things, and it upset those imbalances, so we had to back out that work. But additional testing was warranted, so we resubmitted a change order through GZA, our environmental consultant, to get the remaining balance of that money. I think we had dropped it from $200,000 down to like $159,000. Now we've got permission to utilize that outstanding $40,000 for additional testing, so that's good. They're up there this week doing ground penetrating radar survey, and they're going to finalize some other locations next week. We've got a lot of paperwork to process, though, on that change order. The dam safety permit, I guess, is going through, but going through slowly, and I think you know, they're trying to work through that on the DEEP side and the OSTA side as well for modification of their state traffic permit is kind of chugging along. I think there's a lot of comments from OSTA that might upset the streetscape improvements we put in, you know, the whole idea of having to widen the roadway to accommodate vehicle delay during peak hours is a point of contention where, you know, I guess the developer and perhaps staff are not really thrilled with those recommendations from the DOT, but they're also sensitive because there's been complaints about congestion through that area in the past. But, you know, when our biggest complaint through the area is speeding, congestion isn't always the worst thing, at least for 2 hours a day, because then you have an over-designed road for the other 22. That you don't have those peak hours. And so that's kind of an issue right now that needs to be resolved. And I don't know if we're going to have to take some additional efforts to try to get on the same page with DOT on that with the developer. So those are the three main things going on. We had a meeting with the economic development consultant today who's doing the economic impact analysis that would be used to support a possible TIF agreement. And we are getting them some Excel spreadsheets of some of our budget documents to help them understand our budgeting process for that analysis. So a lot of little things moving, but you're not going to see any major work soon, but a lot of irons in the fire.
So what would be next after all the things you just mentioned?
After all that, I don't know. After that, I basically...
Would they pursue the TIF? Is that what it would be?
I believe after the Brownfield grant resolves and we have all the economic analysis, they would probably start to negotiate a TIF agreement with the town as one of many things. And then we'll have to see what happens with that. That's a lengthy process as well. We had started down that direction with Mr. Stein from Ranger Properties years ago. And when he got ill, that just kind of stopped. But we'd have to recommence that process.
Do they want this area?
Yep.
Not yet.
Should we move up?
Yeah.
Agenda item number 9,
or give them a minute to settle.
Yeah. Do you want to just go on the rail trail?
Yeah, let's do rail trail.
Okay, so that I've been reaching back out to the vice president of development at the shops. They're through all their tenants. They are working through their lender as far as reviewing the easement agreement for the trail, but they say it's going well, but they're going to nudge them along because we need to get final comments in order for us to start phase one construction, which would basically take us, halfway through the shops. And that's the one that Lenny got us funding to construct a few years ago. So the pressure is there to get that done. I keep putting that pressure on them. But they're going to try to get that through the lender, hopefully the next 2 or 3 weeks. And then from there, we would need to basically get the easement documents written up, and then they have to... we have the easement documents written up, but we have to get the recordable plan together that then everybody could sign where they're agreeing to where the exact easement area is. But we have most of that already through our preliminary design, but we have to just convert it and get it going. But I can't authorize our consultant doing the design to do that work until I know we have agreement on the easement. So we're in this kind of cart and horse scenario. So hopefully when I find out from the lender that they're good, I can authorize the design consultant to come back and start working on this project and get those maps finalized. And then hopefully we end the design on phase one, get the easement recorded, initiate construction, and then finalize the design on phase two, and then pursue grants for the construction of that. And
so the remaining, but I think there were a couple businesses that had yet to agree, but they've all agreed?
All the businesses have agreed.
So now they have to sign?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, right. Wow, that's progress.
It's painful, slow progress.
Yes, it is, yes. For sure.
Yes, it is.
So that's where we are. And then the segment on Lawton Road, Glenn, our project administrator, met with the utility company and is marking out some changes for our design consultant on that one as well. That's just the short piece in front of the church on Lawton Road.
Okay.
But that should go hopefully forward soon, now that we'll finally get an understanding on what we can do and not do with the utility poles.
Wow. Amazing.
Okay, so did you want to take number 9 out of order?
Yeah, well, let's go from item 4 straight to item number 9, the Canton Village redevelopment. Gentlemen, you can join us up here if you'd like.
Yeah. You know, I don't know what what's best for you. Did you want to say put the boards up there so that people can see?
Yeah, that's probably a good idea.
If I stand here, can everybody see this?
Yeah. Yeah. Sure.
Easy enough. All right, well, everyone, thank you for having us. My name is Chris Pulowski. I'm a licensed civil engineer in the state of Connecticut. Here to talk about Canton Village. And my client, resident of Canton Village, LLC, is Brian Sewell.
Thank you.
His family has owned Canton Village for a long time in town here, and now they have recently purchased Canton Village with plans to redevelop it. As you are probably aware, Canton Village is a number of individual buildings and whatnot, so they do not own the whole plaza. I'd like to lead off with that because each parcel or each building is on its own piece of property. So they have purchased, I would say, a little more than half of the plaza.
There's four other owners right now?
Correct.
Or five other owners.
So their purchase kind of entails the two properties that front on Albany Turnpike, on Route 44, and then as you enter into Canton Village, the entire left-hand side, all the way out to Dowd Avenue. So it'll be like the post office, there's a bank, the UPS store, those are all under
Little Oak and the gym.
The gym, exactly.
The old McDonald's building.
Correct.
Then down the right, it's the two office buildings, Bear's Package Store, and potentially the burger restaurant.
Correct.
Soon to be, potentially.
So that is what they own, and then the restaurant, the hardware store, those are all separate owners. So what you have, or you might have, Neil, thank you for inviting us. I don't know if they, looks like you have it on the screen here, so it looks like you guys are a little bit familiar with this.
I literally just got it out at like 5 o'clock, just catching up on the information coming in over the weekends.
Yeah,
but
no worries.
Most people have not seen it.
Gotcha. So we have had one informal meeting with the Planning and Zoning Commission. We'll have another informal meeting with the Planning and Zoning Commission next week. And then we anticipate a formal application based on the Canton Village Design District Form-Based Code sometime in June or July. So just to give you guys an idea on like timeline here, the project is a very large project. In our personal analysis, we believe it's going to be a significant economic boom for the village and area. It's going to be complete over several phases. So the initial phase will be the buildings and area that front on Albany Turnpike and extend a little bit into the site. That will be redeveloped first because there are existing tenants and whatnot. So you get that built, we rehouse some of the tenants if they want to move to the new space, and then we work our way back towards Dowd Avenue.
So yeah, it's just no tenants are being asked to move.
Yes.
Everybody will, who's in there will be given first priority on any new space.
So, and when I say several phases, probably likely the two or three phases, this is not a 20-year project. I would anticipate a year or two. So if we go through the first phase formal application this summer, we anticipate the construction to begin in hopefully the fall or winter and move into the next year. So you know, that first phase would be complete sometime next summer is our anticipation. And then you'd move right into the next phase and then finalize it. So you're probably looking overall at a 3 to 5 year
yeah.
project is probably realistic from start to finish. Just a large project, and along there's a lot of moving parts that we need to make sure kind of work in cohesion, if you will. So this is our overall concept. We did go before them with an initial plan and kind of revised it based on some of the feedback that we received. So there's, again, this is Albany Turnpike on the far side of the plan here. We have one mixed-use building, which is located here. This is kind of the current entrance, if you will. So you have one mixed-use building that fronts onto Albany Turnpike. You have one coffee shop or drive-through building here. This is currently the McDonald's, or was a McDonald's. Now it is the farmer's stand there. Then you have another mixed-use building as you move towards the back of the site, and the final mixed-use building out towards Dowd Avenue. So in all, you're looking at, you're looking at almost 40,000+ square feet of commercial space, and then anywhere between 60 and 80 units across the complex. You know, we're trying to create a village feel. So there's a couple of ways to look at this project. When we first looked at it, we had parking in the front, kind of a little bit different arrangement. When we went to the Planning and Zoning Commission, the feedback we received is, hey, can you kind of try to push some of that parking behind the building? So now these two buildings are actually terraced. So the parking in the back is like on the main level, and then there's like a 15-foot overhang where you have apartments and whatnot above. So the ground floor will be that commercial retail space, and then you can have your restaurants, your shops, your cafes, your gyms, like everything that you can imagine. I mean, we have a wide variety of spaces here with 30,000 to 40,000 plus square feet to offer. And then above that, you'll have the apartments. And what you get with that is a live-work community, right? So you don't need to go anywhere else. You can park your car once or live here, and everything is there available to you. You have the hardware store right across. Like, if you were to live in this building, your hardware store is right here. Okay, say you want to go pick something up, like a coffee, you got a coffee right there. You have a restaurant right here. There's, you know, a variety of other tenants that are going to be using these spaces. The list goes on and on. But it's not set up in your sense like you're like a strip mall. You know, there's, I don't know if you've seen the rendering, but you know, we're trying to make this like a place. It's about making places more than making just, you know, brick and mortar, if you will. Originally we had a little bit different concept, but this is kind of at least our interpretation of the feedback. Neil might have a different opinion of this, but we'll find out, I guess, next Thursday. Try to get that New England mill-like village was our real goal that we directed our architect to. This is kind of what they came up with. So, you know, we're still in the beginning phase of this project. We wanted to come forth for you all tonight and just let you know that this is coming. You know, whether this is its final form or not still remains to be seen, but this is our first foot on the path. And, you know, we look forward to working with all of you. My client is curious to see, you know, any programs or opportunities that the Economic Development Group can offer to help in their project as it moves forward. I mean, you know, the estimated total construction cost of this project, I would put north of $50 million between all the buildings. Not in phase one, but when you get everything put forth. So this is a very significant investment in Canton that they are making. I think everybody agrees that they love the center, but it does need some love for back. Needs to get updated. This is a good way to kind of keep what's there, but also bring it into the current, phase, or get a new life, if you will.
How does the quantity of or the amount of commercial space being proposed compare to what's there right now?
There's 33,000 square feet, and it's going to be 40 to 50.
Yeah, probably 40 plus. So you're gaining about 10,000. That's just a commercial plus all the.
And again, that's not the eye doctor's building. That's not the ACE. That's not the roof.
Just on your.
Just on under there.
And then how many apartments right now are being proposed?
Right now, between 60 and 80. The number fluctuates because we're trying to nail down like the final building design and whatnot. I'd say a minimum of 60, though.
So, parking is the biggest constraint right now.
Correct.
By far.
It's a challenge because you need enough spaces to make sure the center still functions, but you don't want to overpark it and create like a sea of blacktop, because we still want that community feel. Like, I don't know if you kind of see it here, but like everything you see in the green here, these are all big hatched boulevard type. This green is all landscape. So these are, you know, 20 plus feet wide in the center, and you only have minimal parking in the front, and this is a one-way. So people aren't going to be flying through here. It's more, again, trying to create that. I keep going back to this, that like village feel. It's Canton Village after all, right? I mean, you know, we wish we had these properties as well, because in all honesty, we'd love to push these buildings kind of closer together, but I don't know if you can see, it's hard to tell, we just standing right here, but this property line for this owner comes down all the way actually across here.
Oh, really?
So
the other challenge is on 44, the state owns.
That's correct.
Really far back.
So, like, this building is actually on the property line.
Really?
So when I go to P&Z next week, I'm going to talk to them, because their setback is after the Bill 2 line is supposed to be 15 feet from the curb. This is 50 feet. So, you know, we're in conversation actually with the state of Connecticut about attempting to either lease or purchase right away from them. This is just a really old right away. Mm-hmm. So the traffic certificate that was issued for this site is actually one of the original certificates issued in the 1970s. They're on like tens of thousands now. I think this is 152 or something like very low like that. So. It's just kind of what happened back in the day and how the land played out. But yeah, unfortunately, you know, they own 50 plus feet, the state does, from the current curb cut. So I have some work to do with P&Z to kind of talk through that. But
have you gotten what kind of a reception have you gotten from DOT on buying some of that right away?
It's a long process. So we've literally just made those kind of initial outreaches. And, you know, it doesn't, it would be better if we got it, but it doesn't prevent the project. Like, the way we designed it now works with, like, you're going to have this, you have this entrance here, the light's going to stay, obviously, we're going to paint sidewalks here. Someone did give me a comment letter about how you're going to be able to walk across. I just haven't baked in those final details. There's going to be painted crosswalks and even potentially might raise some of the, you can see like an elevated pedestrian if you've ever been through some of the plazas in the area. It's like a traffic calming measure, if you will, where you raise the walkway, you kind of roll over it. Yeah. So I just haven't gotten to those details
yet. Yeah, it's a concept. Yeah. So there's a lot of feedback.
There's a lot of stuff that
putting in here.
We're trying to take every, we're not going to be able to make everybody happy. I'm going to put that out. I know it sounds like a terrible thing to say, but we're going to try to take as much as we can from different parties and incorporate it into our design.
Yeah.
So
it is a very bizarre dip in the right-of-way, too. I mean, DOT normally likes to have their right-of-ways very uniform,
yeah,
equidistant apart from their center line, and all of a sudden you have a dip that comes all the way in, and actually underneath the overhang of what used to be Junior's, or the Polar Whip back in the day, and that is just, it's just kind of crazy by today's standards, so I'm hoping they would be willing to work with you at least to get, you know, parallel lines as they send a link along the roads.
Nice.
Wouldn't that hold true with other businesses along 44 as well, then?
Well, no. I mean, it's a very unique curve in the right-of-way where it, on just the south side, it like goes down to almost like a triangle point right in front of that, or into that business.
Right where Bear's package store is, I think it goes pretty much right to the front door.
The parking for the package store is actually in the DOT's right-of-way. So that's it's just the way it's been for years.
Yeah.
So,
gotta love it.
Yeah.
Gotta love it.
So how does it work with the other property owners in terms of, because obviously there's some common areas, right?
Right.
So, so in terms of like, so obviously the condition of the plaza now is not very desirable. So on a go-forward basis, how would it work with the other business owners to, or property owners to maintain and beautify and so on and so forth? Is there like some sort of association?
Yeah, so that's all handled through a condo association. We all pay into it monthly. Everything exterior is paid for by the association. I mean, we all contribute to it, but it's all split based on our square footage. So all the parking lot, all the landscaping, all the exterior maintenance is through the association, and none of them are going to push back if we're cleaning it up like this.
Right.
Yeah, this whole thing will be repaved.
I've talked to all the other owners, and every single one of them are on board for this. There has been absolutely no pushback from any of the other association members.
So we have basically, I don't want to say the control, but the ability to make the modifications as you see here, mm-hmm. but we don't have the ability to touch their buildings or put a building on their parcel.
And there, we have talked to them about possibly shifting some of the lines in order to buildings if we need to, and it's been received well so far.
And just for clarification, the IGA, the former IGA, is not part of that association,
correct.
Right? Just so everybody understands that.
Yeah, they're on a total different, they're on their own.
Gotcha.
That's why that's kind of just that.
It's kind of just thrown down there.
The Citgo as well is not.
Right.
Bo's Burgers is not, but if we acquired it, we'll.
I think the Napa, I think,
is.
And the old Pappy Dolphin site is.
Yep, the Napa's all part of the original.
And then, like we said, the rooftop Ace, the eye doctor, that's all the association
all
as well.
That makes things incredibly complex, you know, because they have the owners they're able to cooperate with, and they have other near, almost owners, but not quite, but they also have rights adjacent to this, and some have... There's some easements and things to pass in and out through those other properties, but it's very complicated as far as the managing those different entities.
Yeah, the way it was set up was, it makes my job a very fun to say the least. Nothing here is square or straight or makes any sense in my mind, but there was a plan for it back in the day.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, my clients will be back before you guys again, you know, talk some about the programs I'm sure you guys offer them. It's not really my forte, but we didn't want to come tonight just to kind of say, hey, this is coming. We would really appreciate your support. You know, we think it's going to be great. For the town and the area, and happy to answer any questions or any thoughts you might have, honestly, on the project. So
yeah, I would appreciate it. I get the ability to talk to them, you know, all the time if they want. But you know, they can only come out to these meetings to talk to you guys and members of Planning and Zoning Commission. So I know EDA is really focused on this Village Center for years, if not decades. So any, you know, feedback or constructive, you know, input you could provide them as for their design exercise here would probably be greatly appreciated.
I have a question. It's not necessarily about the design of this, but it's the economic conditions that are sort of underpinning this project. I mean, you're seeing, you're talking about putting $50 million into this area here. So obviously, you're seeing some significant economic potential. Can you speak to that a little bit, too? You know, because our purview is, you know, just like, yeah, is the strength of the Canton economy, and you guys are seeing some stuff. So,
well, I mean, we see what happened with the shops when they built those 15 years or so ago.
Almost 20 years ago.
They're all doing very well, and we're looking to take it a step further than they did, right? And it's not going to be just retail, but it's going to be mixed use on top of it. I know Chris and I
could talk about housing a little bit. So, well, first off, I believe, isn't the center almost 100% leased right now?
Yeah, center, our properties are 100% leased.
I mean, that alone, it's over 30,000 square feet of leased
space.
And
just to give you a little more insight, when we bought it in August of last year, it was about 70% leased. It leased the rest of the space in a month and a half.
Wow.
And it would, the demand was there. There just wasn't any initiative for the past several years. I don't want to speak. They're just everybody who inherited this property had their own lives, their own businesses, and it wasn't the focus of any of them. My wife's grandfather is the one who built this property back in the 70s.
Henry.
Yeah. So I'm not from Canton, but I know the area, and I do have ties to it now. You know, so it's family of mine. It's not blood, but it is family. But like I said, we did lease the rest of the space immediately after purchasing it.
That's great.
And there was a lot of demand for it.
So from that economic standpoint, right, if we're already at least 30,000 square feet, to add another 10, 15 is great, right? Because they're still, you know, they're almost full, if not full.
Mm-hmm.
And then in Connecticut, I mean, I said this during planning and zoning, but Connecticut is about 100,000 housing units short.
Yep.
You know, so what you get with this is you're bringing in not only the shops, but you're also bringing in the people that help support those shops, support the restaurant, to the restaurant, their rooftop. Right now he's getting, you know, several hundred customers right in the same plaza as him. So you're getting a balance here. But yes, the residential demand is extremely there. I mean, this is not going to make a dent in the 100,000 units, but every step down that road is progress, right? And people, you know, people want options to live, right? I mean, Canton has a really strong single-family area. There's a lot of houses out here, but young professionals and stuff like that are trying to rent or maybe have an apartment or something like that. There's not too many opportunities out there for them like that. So this kind of fills that void. So we're anticipating the demand to be very high for the residential, and then, as Brian mentioned, on the commercial side of things, you know, he has evidence of demand being there in the plaza already.
And we are working with brokers who are already talking to potential tenants about this, and we do see the demand for it. Plus, everybody who's there wants to stay. So we think we already have, you know,
30,000
of at least. Now, how much of that actually happens, you know, half maybe, but now it'll fill quickly.
Yeah, so you're not expecting much runoff.
No.
But that's also the reason for the phases too, right? It's a lot to bite out. You know, it's a lot to churn out 58 million at once, so that's why we're going to do the three phases. Because that gives us a chance to adjust the approach, right? You learn things as you do the first phase that will incorporate into the second phase and finalize in the third phase. So
I know you're in early conversations with DOT. Has there been any conversation or thought around to what this might trigger, like improvements for Dowd Avenue intersection and the Albany Turnpike intersections, improved crosswalks that way?
So we are studying like 6 or 8 different intersections as part of this. The traffic study is actually quite...
It's going on right now. Right?
Yeah, the traffic study is right now. So if you see people out, well, it's on the video. You won't see it. We'll see people setting up video detection in the area. You know, they're counting cars, so for lack of a better term, they're out there right now, actually. We're not going to be installing a new signal.
Okay.
And the beauty of this plaza is there's already a left turn lane in, like from if you're coming
From Hartford direction.
Right. Yeah. If you're coming down, you know, this way, you can already turn left in.
Right.
So we're not anticipating too much in terms of like physical widenings or lane additions, if you will.
Okay.
There will definitely be a retiming of the signal.
Okay.
We will be adding in the front here, there's going to be all new like bike storage racks and like a kind of like big, I don't want to say big concrete pad, but an area where like you can kind of safely cross the street and I don't know, if you have a stroller or something.
Okay.
It's like a little area to, it's like a streetscape improvement, basically, is how, what I would call it.
Right. I think the tightening of kind of the Dowd intersection is really smart, too, because that's a huge opening right
yeah.
now.
Oh, yeah,
yeah. It'll be very controlled. Funneling that into
right.
a specific spot.
It's the same thing kind of honestly with the site. So right now you come and come in there, and you don't know if you're going to go left
right.
or you're going to go right.
One
so,
side is both ways. The other side is one way. It's,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is going to be like the existing corridor that's two ways through,
okay.
and then we're going to break. We're breaking off to a one way here.
Okay.
So this kind of keeps it. So you come in.
So the opposite of what it is now.
That's correct. So you pull. You can pull in and go two ways, but then this is this will clearly be one way going out to Dowd.
Okay. Is any parking specifically just reserved for residents? Would there be signage?
In the back, there will be spots in the back for residents, most likely underneath the
in other tenants.
In other tenants.
Yeah,
yeah.
So they'll need access to their space.
Yeah, and we have like loading in the rear, the dumpsters and stuff. So that's kind of your back of your house in the various spaces.
One of the things we have going for us with parking is we have a lot of tenants that are open at different times. Nobody's going to the post office and the rooftop at the same time.
Right.
Some, but there's a big shift in the busy times.
Right.
So
yeah,
that definitely helps with the parking.
There's going to be a full parking study done
okay.
on the whole
yeah.
plaza presented for P&Z. Not for the next Thursday meeting, but when a formal application comes, it will be. But to answer your original question, streetscape improvements, signal retiming, there might be some minor pedestrian upgrades depending on what the DOT says back there, but at this time we're not displaying any physical lane widening. I mean, in the site here, now you're going to have one dedicated in, but you're going to have two lanes out. You're going to have a dedicated right turn lane. So we don't want traffic to back up all the way onto the site. So we want to make sure that if you want to get out, get a right, then you're fine. So
those long frontages on kind of those two buildings to the south there, I guess, from this perspective, those will kind of be broken up per the code and everything
yes.
to make look like separate buildings and
mm-hmm. yeah. So like this is kind of we're gonna actually terrace one of them and stuff like that.
Okay.
So
okay.
I think on that south front ditch you're showing the buildings being pulled closer to Dowd and articulating
correct.
The elevation there, which is a big change from the last drawing. I think that's what you're talking about.
Yeah. Oh yeah, sorry. Yeah. This so we pulled it all the way to Dowd because that was one of the comments that we received,
okay.
and then now there's like undulations in the building, kind of break up the.
That's great. So it's not just a wall.
It's not just a wall.
Okay.
No.
Yeah, especially the roof line. We're trying to break it up so we don't have this one like big 4-story building across
right.
from.
It's just right.
Flat. Exactly.
Yeah.
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 Okay. Because we know the ones across are anywhere from 1 to 2 stories, and we're trying to
yeah.
make it fit in and not just have, like, you know, you drive down and it looks like this with the roof
yeah.
line. So
we're right. anticipating, like, on Albany Turnpike, we'll meet maximum 3 stories, even though the code
okay.
allows 4, but then into the site, you'll see that 4-story, but it won't be
okay.
a true 4-story, but it won't be all 4 stories. It'll be, like, in this somewhat of a terraced look. So you'll
gotcha.
Have a higher section, that's number 3. Because the board feedback was interesting. A lot of people were for it. The planning and zoning, excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
But then some people were like, I don't really be okay with 3. So we kind of split. We
yeah,
kind of
right.
split the middle, right? Some are going to
yeah.
get a little bit of 4, and you're going to get 3. But everybody didn't want 3 max on all the turnpikes, so that's what we are currently showing.
Okay.
So
are those apartments planned for above that front building in the green?
No, that is a false facade. This code requires 2 stories, so there won't be anything above the coffee shop. So we know the parking, it's kind of like comes
right,
down.
Right.
Yeah. It's kind of a tight corner there.
Yeah.
There's just nowhere to put people, unfortunately.
And have you guys been in touch with the Bizzutos
family
about that?
Yeah, they don't really tend to sell anything.
No.
and it's solving a problem for him right now, and it's worth more that he has storage than anything we can offer him for it. Maybe we could work something out with the parking lot, but I don't think he's interested in selling the building at all.
No.
Yeah. I mean, to him, it's pennies. He'd rather just sit on it.
No, he has a reputation for not selling.
Yeah.
What specific types of tenants are you targeting for the retail and office and
a mix of local brands and also national brands, right? So you're going to get your mom-and-pop coffee shops, your what's the little place in the back of the cafe?
Little Oak Cafe.
Little Oak, things like that. And then, you know, you're also going to get some big-time national retailers in there. I can't really
mention Webster's interested in staying and getting space up on 44.
So
post office has been pretty quiet so far.
It's going to be, honestly, a blend
it's
of stuff. We're not targeting like big boxes, like we're not really going for the TJ Maxx's and the world it's not that type of plaza. So it's more of a local feel, if you will, but again you're gonna have some of those bigger brands that you all recognize. So
hard to believe that post office was once a movie theater.
Really?
Yeah.
It was
it really?
It was a twin movie theater.
In that existing building?
In that building.
That's cool.
They've been there since, I think, the early 90s.
Yeah.
It's about 30 years now.
Yeah.
35 years.
It's called the
what building? What building?
The post office.
The post office building. Huh. Really small screen.
Yeah.
Really small theaters.
There's also a very cool mural in the bank of the Collins site.
Yep.
The Axe Factory site.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So,
any other feedback, questions?
Can we ask questions or not? No.
Sure.
Okay. Two questions. One is, are you thinking of a grocery store? And the second is, the apartments, is it going to be apartments or condos? Or, like, will they own them or just rent? Or you don't know yet?
The first one, grocery store, there's no talks with any. I mean, we could approach some, that would be great, but we haven't gotten to that specific level of trying to fill space that we don't have yet. We've gotten some feedback on people who might be interested. I'm not going to say no. I think it would be a great addition to it, but we haven't talked to them, just being honest.
From a large, from the site and civil engineer standpoint, you will not see a large grocery store here, like a Stop and Shop or a ShopRite.
No.
So
definitely not.
You would be a smaller grocery store, but you will. The site does not accommodate a Stop and Shop or a ShopRite or anything like that.
Just for background reference, we did a community survey a year or two ago, and one of the questions we asked was, "What business would you like to see come to town?" And overwhelmingly, it was Trader Joe's.
Yeah, I knew that. For what it was. Yeah,
I've worked on their projects, and just to give you the economic, well, you guys will appreciate this, the way that they run their business is entirely economic driven.
Yeah.
So they have very secretive, highly analytics driven data, and if the data fits their model, they will do anything they can to get in your market. If you are on the fringe of their data, they're not as... They're like, I worked on a project that took like 2 or 3 years to get them to finally bite because we didn't hit all their points. If you don't hit, if you're not on the fringe,
you're done.
You can try to beg them. People, the only way I've seen it is a town had so many residents call and reach out to them that they finally, like 5 or 6 years down the road, put the door in.
I wrote to them and texted them and asked them to come to Bizzuto's before Bizzuto owned it. And they said, look at their model.
I've also heard that they're pretty strict about not taking space in the back.
Like correct.
They want frontage.
They want frontage. And then we don't unfortunately have a spot like that.
Yeah, it would be really hard to fit somebody. Not saying no to any grocery store. There might be something that works.
I would say anything bigger than that, too. Like, in following the guidance of Canton Advocates for Responsible Expansion, who was very, very concerned about Canton Village being the only big, flat, open piece of land in Canton where something might happen. They're very concerned about the box-scale development coming into it one day. So the zoning that was put in place on the coattails of their efforts really deters that kind of...
Yeah.
You know, the modern-day grocery store that's larger than the Trader Joe's, and to your point, it's really designed to not allow something like that to fit in because then you're just left with a box and a big parking lot, which wasn't what anybody at the time wanted to see there. So just a little bit of additional background.
Yeah. And then are you thinking apartments, or are you thinking more people own them?
There'll be apartments.
Yeah,
we will continue ownership.
The condo, the condominium market is evolving. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Okay. Evolving?
I'm not sure.
Anyone else have any other questions?
I like this latest design.
Okay. Glad you. Yeah. I mean, look, this takes a village. We would love your support, you know, if anybody asks you about it around town, right? I work with a lot of different developers and builders and clients. They're trying, you know, they have family ties here. They're really trying to, like, make, again, not everybody's going to win, right? Someone's going to be upset about what we're proposing, but they're really trying to kind of stay on the road here and take everybody's opinion in and everything. So we would love it if, you know, everyone kind of backed us as we went through this. And, you know, it's going to evolve and everything, but we hope that, you know, we really believe that's going to, you know, change this area of Canton for the better. So,
yeah, you know, I just want to kind of also, if it's okay, you know, I've been trying to talk to the EDA just about getting more and more involved in following the POCD process, because a lot of the efforts of the prior EDA, you know, the prior membership of it, was very influential in the long-term planning for the town. But when we talk about the things we've been talking about recently, about how we mapped out where all of our, you know, wetlands are and flood zones and steep slopes and where our gaps in utility infrastructure are, and where, and that led to the mapping of the opportunity sites that the EDA was involved in. And there's not that many of them, and there's very, very few areas where you might have a, you know, ability to have a large contribution to the grand list to help offset the tax burden on the residents. And this is probably the second largest one, and, you know, that's the X factory. And the fact that they're here coming out to talk this early on to the Planning and Zoning Commission, you guys, and the public is huge, because that isn't always the case. So again, any, you have any thoughts or any additional feedback we can get, because a project of this nature is just once every couple decades, maybe once every 100 years, I don't know, but it's very significant. So you're only going to do it once.
Yes.
Right? You're not going to have a mulligan.
Love you, Neil, right? But this is going to be it.
So. Provide as much input as we can to help them be on a path to success that they can make work financially, and then hopefully everybody in the community actually appreciates when it's done.
This is very nice, the streetscape, you know, because it's kind of like we have Collinsville at one end, and this is like Cantonville at the other. They're like bookends. Yeah. And it will fill in between. I was just driving down North Main Street in West Hartford, where I lived 50 years ago, and for the last two blocks from Whitman Avenue and a little bit before that, just two blocks before you enter into the big intersection there with Farmington Avenue, those were all residential houses, and I counted them as I went down, and they were 10 businesses, the 10 houses immediately precessing the intersection were now all businesses that had been converted to commercial. But I was glad to see that they were the original, like, houses, you know, and so kudos to that part of West Hartford, because certainly the rest of it is turning into a city pretty quick. So,
but in my time on the EDA, this is kind of my second stint on the EDA. Of course, everybody was pounding the table about we got to get the Axe Factory done, and anybody who had any involvement with the Axe Factory recognized what a complex project that is. The site's challenged and in all sorts of ways, and that it just would take a long, long time to get to the point of development. And as facts have borne out, that's what we've got. And the EDA was always focused on Kent Village as being a much more opportune site, because it's flat, it's got utilities, it's a commercial area, an accepted commercial area. If it's tastefully done, the public will support it. And, you know, this looks down like you're going down the right road. So I'm very pleased.
Thank you.
Yeah,
and some, I mean, these buildings are on their last leg. Some of them. They are...
Is this the parking lot?
Yeah. But parking lot, you repay. Some of these buildings are not...
They're not repayable.
Right. Yeah. They are in rough shape. And some are okay, but there's others that are barely hanging on. Something has to be done sooner than later with this space.
Yeah. So I think that the next steps are, they're going to go back to planning and zoning, as I said. Not all of the, you know, regulatory construction works with the unique situation they have here, and they are working around some incredibly difficult hurdles, like that property line that bisects almost half the property, things like that. But they're going to present where they are able to meet the regulatory construction, where they can't, and then try to work out an exercise to create modifications that might, you know, you might be asked to weigh upon. And then I guess just real quick, there's two ways to do that. We talked about one, you do the design district where you say, here's all of our regulations we don't meet, and we're going to make that a separate new district. Or there's a mechanism I didn't talk about where you can actually just do your own regulating plan, and there's an actual section of the code that says rules for new regulating plans. And you can follow that and also just build a new plan based on your master plan or concept plan here. So
gotcha.
We can look at that one too. I didn't really think of it until this discussion, so I apologize for that. But at some point, they're going to have to ask for support to get changes like that made, because I doubt you're going to be able to meet every rule that we wrote without knowing what could happen. Like we wrote a very specific set of regulations that doesn't always work in every case, so it's
correct.
It's not, you can't see in the future exactly what might work.
No, and it really comes down to the property lines, quite honestly, on the DOT stuff. Like, you know, there's utilities there and all that. We can work through those engineering. I can't change the property lines, so I have a list of, you know, where we meet the build-to line, where I meet the parking line, where I physically can't meet the build-to line.
Right.
I mean, in the front here is, you know, the most obvious one. You know, I'm 50 feet back from the curb. I need to be 15, but I physically can't do that. So, but then, you know, right along here, I'm round up around the built-to line. So it's like, hey, I can give it to you here. I just can't. So, we'll have that discussion, and then whatever you think is the best, you know, most efficient route for us to get through that, will be the route that we'll take. So, but you are correct. Yeah, we will have to definitely ask for some changes.
I just make sure they're aware of what the next steps would be.
One last quick comment. I know we're not the design police or anything like that, and it will be built to the code in the district. Was there any discussion about pitched roofs or anything like that, or dormered or anything? So it's aside from the terrace, there's something else kind of visually breaking up the roof.
Usually there will be at least like a partial wall or something, because you want to hide your HVAC equipment behind.
Okay.
So you don't want that just sticking up on top of the roof. But, you know, you're going to get, like, I know we're in this one, we're just showing like a couple of awnings in the front here, but there's an opportunity, like, at least to show some breakage in the top of the roof.
Right,
but
that one's awesome. Yeah.
Our architect is working on it.
Okay.
And we'll have, you know, something for some people to comment on,
yeah,
and
okay.
then we'll kind of go and make adjustments from there. We got to put
awesome.
We haven't finalized that,
yeah,
you know, version of it. So
it's kind of interesting because the design standards for this were based on Collinsville.
Correct. Okay.
And so, and when you go into Collinsville, you actually see a lot of different styles.
Right.
And it's kind of interesting in the architect's license here is to, you know, figure out what makes the most sense looking at that and then trying to work with the site constraints. But that person could have gone a different direction. You know, this is the direction they went in. And there's not always a wrong answer either. It's kind of like it is a, you know, the ability to do many different styles based on the initial measurements that they took out of Collinsville that they tried to replicate and allow to happen over Canton Village. So it's there's no real right or wrong answer as long as, you know, I think the commission, somebody, they'll know it's wrong when they see it, but there's a lot of other stuff where you can work with an architect and say, hey, this makes design sense and continuity with the direction that's been given.
Yeah, I actually picked up like 8 or 12 different street facades in Collinsville, and that's how you said, because that's where the code was based off of, and sent them over to the architect and said, I don't know, pick what kind of blends here, and this is what they came back with. So
I recognize some of those buildings.
You might, because they literally, like I said, I have streetscape photos of the photos in Collinsville that I sent over to them. So
well, we live there. So.
That's
better. Yes.
Sorry, go ahead. All right, is there anything else? Audience, any questions? All right, thank you
for having us.
Yeah. They'll be back in the future, obviously, to talk about, you know, some of the economic programs and tax things and whatnot. That's not really my line, so I'll leave that to them. But it was nice to meet all of you, and we appreciate your feedback and look forward to your support on the project.
Yeah,
so thank you, Neil, for inviting us.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, we'll see you Wednesday next week?
Next Wednesday, yes.
Next Wednesday.
Yep. Look forward across the hall at 7.
Yep.
Thank you so much, everyone.
Thanks. Thanks.
Thanks.
Good
night.
Thanks.
Good
night.
Thanks.
Good
night.
So continuing with our agenda items, number 5, in terms of community outreach, No updates on item A, residents. Tommy, your business survey.
Yeah.
My perspective, I think it looks pretty good.
Awesome.
I don't know if anyone else has feedback. But the next step would be to build it out in like a Google form or something equivalent kind of format?
Google form, MS Forms. If we do have access to a town account via Microsoft, we could tap into Microsoft Forms, which would be really easy to just kind of throw this in. Revisions include kind of asking folks which one of the following descriptions best fits their business, like construction, trades, manufacturing, restaurant, retail, et cetera. A question about where their clients come from, whether it's Canton residents, nearby towns, other parts, out of state, online, or whether it's business to business. And this was all part of the feedback. Where is the business primarily operated from or based? So we kind of capture that home base, storefront, or office. And then the sort of question about the physical space and what's their relationship to physical space in Canton. It's them occupying a space for their own operations. They own and lease space to other businesses, so it's capturing those other pieces of information that we spoke about. A question added about what influenced their decision to locate their business in Canton, and then all these also include boxes for others so they can add in if nothing's captured in the responses. If there's a question added now about any barriers or challenges that affect their business to operate or expand in Canton, and asking them to please describe instead of the strongly agree, neutral, disagree, strongly disagree. All those were kept. We just added not applicable to neutral as well, so they can check that box. And then another open-ended item at the end of the ranking of those questions from strongly agree to strongly disagree is if they strongly agreed or disagreed with any of the choices, if they could explain their response or share additional information so we have some more context around that. And then added a question at the end for if they're interested in any of the services or programs offered by the town or EDA, if they wanted to participate in a roundtable or focus group, if they were expressed interest in a future facade improvement program or a feature in the Make It Canton social media campaign, they can check those boxes. And then just a catch-all at the end, the 17th question, the last question, if there's anything we have not asked them that they'd like to share, comment on, another open-ended one that they can add.
Actually, just looking at this now, the section where it's the agree, disagree.
Yes.
I think the neutral or NA, I think that should be broken out to two separate. So either you're, you're neutral, because that to me is a view, or you're NA because I don't have an opinion.
Gotcha. Okay, so I'll add
I would break that out to two separate.
Okay. Yeah. Perfect. I can definitely do that.
And then my thought would be, once this is built out, and I did the community survey in Google Forms, so well versed in Google Forms. So if you want any help building this out, I can do that. But my thought would be, let's build it out, and then we can all give it a test run. And I think going through the test run, making sure all the click-throughs work as appropriate and expected,
perfect.
We might flush out any last-minute changes that we think might need to be made.
Great. No, that sounds good. I'll take a first pass in Google Forms and reach out if anything comes up and have it ready for our next meeting.
And what's your opinion about how we send this out? Do you think we should cast a wide net and try to get as many businesses in town as we can for the first run? Or should we keep it to that list that you came up with where you basically drove around town and made a business directory?
I think the using that official list from CT Data or CT Labor with all the emails on there as a first pass, and then we can sort of narrow it down based on the responses that we get and target, you know, future outreach for folks who kind of want to be involved and go from there. But cast a wide net for this first pass and see what we get back.
All right.
And then coordinate with you, Dave, on like advertising it and kind of getting it out there, making sure folks received it.
Just a reminder before you, when you get ready to say, okay, we want to, we have it finalized, we're comfortable with it, I need to have it reviewed by the first selectman before officially.
Of course,
Yep.
Okay, that sounds great.
No, thanks for that reminder, appreciate it.
Okay, I will work on getting it into Google Forms as a mock up.
It looks really good.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of this. And then 5C, Bob stepped out, but I don't think there were any developer updates. Canton economic backdrop, so feeding into or off of the strategic plan and the proposal to provide an annual update of the, you know, the town's economic condition. I will take a stab at coming up with a form to follow, an annual form to follow.
That's great.
My thought would be either end of year or like January every year to kind of level set as the year comes to an end or New Year's beginning.
Totally.
So I'll start mocking up what that might look like.
Awesome. And I know, Dave, you kind of shared a communications plan too that had some thoughts about that. So we're happy to coordinate with you, and we can make it, you know, design it, or, you know, have it be really flashy, or, you know, come up with some sort of template. So happy to support.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds
good. Can I make a suggestion?
Yeah, of course.
You know, end of year or beginning of year, maybe end of January would be a good time, because of course everybody's busy at the end of year, and it's right before tax season starts to really take over people's thinking in the budget season. So maybe end of January.
Yeah, that's a good idea. That's a good idea.
Great.
Bob, we were just talking about item six, the economic backdrop as it pertains to the strategic plan. Mm-hmm. And in the strategic plan, we're going to provide the town, the Board of Selectmen, the community, an update in terms of Canton's, you know, economy.
Okay,
on an annual basis. And the thought would be, you know, let's do it at the end of January, kind of as a fresh start to the year. Let's recap, you know, kind of where the economics
are. I think that would be a really good idea. And we're getting some great data.
I mean,
the data that's getting created for the Axe Factory,
right.
You know, for that economic study is going to be key. And the data that we're, the sense that we're getting from these guys, from the Canton Village thing, to justify that level of development is important, too. I mean, we suspect that there's a big need for housing, and we suspect that there's a demand for condos, and retail, we really don't know. I mean, we're not experts in those fields, but here are people who are making investment decisions based on that, and they better know whether these things pencil out. So I think that has to be a big factor. Mm-hmm. And it's a factor that, quite frankly, I think most of the town doesn't know. They don't really understand. It's a lot of economic forces at work here. And I think that's a good time frame.
Okay, Jen, any updates on 7A or B, the art installations or the walking tours?
I have two comments to make about the art installation. One is that I have not contacted anybody. I continue to get some grant infomercial, almost like funnels for grants or what have you. With your permission, I'll even spend the money myself, but for $250, I can sign on to a service that will essentially funnel grant after grant after grant, that might, of which some might be applicable to doing streetscape or art installations. And then the other thing, I took a look at this is kind of interesting, this home from Bradenton, Florida that you brought, because actually there are a few artists in Collinsville that do open up their doors and have their art on display every now and then. Certainly it happened a little bit more before COVID happened, but it doesn't mean that it cannot start again. And so if I can keep that or part of that, I will talk to a few of the folks that I know, and that might become a possibility. Thank you very much for bringing that.
I make one more comment, going back to six. Farmers market opens in a month.
That's right.
And I would encourage members of this agency to make a point of going there and just surveying the businesses, the breadth of the businesses and the strength of that market, because it indicates it's another indicator of where people are at. I would say over half of the people that are at the farmers market are not Canton residents. Mm-hmm. And I know that because various political candidates have been trying to hand out literature, and they keep getting I'm not from Canton. I'm not from Canton. And they tell me it's like over half. So, you know, it's a big draw. See what's working. And there have been some brick and mortar coming out of those vendors. So people are coming.
Our zip code survey, when we did had the businesses in Collinsville, tracked zip codes of customers. I can't recite the data, but it was actually very surprising how many come from outside of Canton that actually shop in the Canton businesses. It's not what everybody would think when you actually looked at the data.
Yeah, if we did not have outside, you know, non-Canton residents coming to shop our town, we wouldn't be where we are at all.
I think a lot of that has to do with the rails to trails, too, and the fact that it goes through multiple towns.
Yeah, for sure.
The shops are a big deal.
And the shops.
You know, the nature is a big deal. Obviously, Collinsville is a big deal. A lot of things attracting people into the area.
Jen, if you want to send me the source information you were talking about for that grant program that'll fund the information, I can look at it and see if it's something we might be able to find a source for it, so you don't have to pay out of pocket, but I would have to review it first and see
if there's
money. And I'll be happy to spend a few minutes trying to figure out if there's something we could do, if it looks worthwhile.
Okay.
I'd hate for you to pay anything out of pocket if it wasn't, if it's something that was legitimately covered somewhere, but it may not be.
Item 8, marketing. So I sent that email to, John Bishop. Kind of reaching out again about the partnering with the high school in some way, shape, or form to revitalize or contribute to the Make It Canton social media campaign. He responded. Did you get a chance to reach out to him?
Well, he said we should touch base in mid-June.
Okay. So there seems to be an interest about picking that up from their side. So we'll schedule a meeting and see where that goes.
Yeah.
And now that we've adopted a strategic plan, now we can get down to work on a marketing plan.
Yep. Yep.
I'd be happy to help with any connections there, yeah. Cool.
And then, so 9 we've already covered. 10, so we, the software to transcribe the conversation, the EDA conversation. I looked at that software, so Lisa, you use that. It looks like you get one subscription, so they don't have a like a corporate license, at least.
Right.
That's what I saw. So it would be, the thought would be, if we did get one, it would be shared amongst, you know, whoever is here and wants to record.
Right. Yeah, I was hoping, like, for the money, it's not a huge amount of money, we'd be able to try to figure out how to use it for multiple boards, multiple purposes.
I think the only complexity would be if you have two meetings going on at the same time. I don't think you could do them both at the same time. I think that's the only drawback.
Right.
Yeah, and how many owls do we have?
We have 3.
One's
a backup.
Owl is the camera that allows us to do a hybrid meeting.
Yeah. And one's mounted, the second one's going to be mounted soon, so it won't be something we can move from room to room, and the other one's the backup for one of those two breaks, which has happened on me.
They get a lot of use.
I prioritize them for the regulatory meetings. That's where I have legal issues if something, you know, we don't have a recording or whatever, but that's what we have right now.
So what would it take to make these meetings hybrid then from our side?
Would have to have the equipment available, and we'd have to have a room where we could set it up, usually that's room B or room F. You also have to have a staff person, which I make most of your meetings, I don't make all of your meetings, but if the staff person can't make it, then your meeting gets canceled.
Okay.
And our IWWA chair is rather frustrated because he said, you know, 3 of his last 4 meetings canceled, 2 of those were because the staff person couldn't make it to set up the owl, and then, you know, there's nobody in the office to cover. I mean, we just don't have, you know, enough staff or you know, we all go to meetings and at some point it can't be...
I'm sorry, Neil, I have to correct you, because Conservation Commission, when we don't have staff available, we just have an in-person meeting. So we don't cancel the meeting.
Well, no, if you've noticed it as a hybrid meeting, you can't conduct it as, you can't conduct it. And that's what I got from the CAO, and that's why we did cancel two of the wetlands meetings. So I don't go to your Conservation Commission meeting.
That's a regulatory commission, so...
Excuse me, we're not going to have a debate about...
Well, I just think you should put out accurate information.
I believe what I said was accurate to my knowledge. I respect there could be other opinions. But that is why we canceled two wetlands meetings, because a staff person was not there to run the meeting equipment.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, if that indeed is the case, then, I'm not a fan of showing up to a meeting and then have to cancel it because the technology isn't working or there isn't a staff member there.
Yeah. I understand the, the benefit of having meetings available to the public, in any venue that you can, but being that we are not a regulatory agency, that we have no legal authority in land use or anything else, we are definitely on a second tier in terms of priority. It's just reality.
All right, so review the minutes from the April meeting. I will make a motion to approve those minutes.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right, approved. Any development updates?
Well, I think the biggest thing, I guess outside of Kent Village right now, is the office in Collinsville going up for sale. Is a rather big deal. I was not aware that was going for sale, but it's for sale. We've had some people coming into the counter asking questions about it. It's listed at $1.8 million-ish, which is kind of a large number as well. Interestingly, we were talking earlier about the PSD presentation. There's slides I have from Urban Free that projects economic values of real estate in compact urban environments versus your typical, sprawling commercial corridor. And just there's so much substantially higher. And, it'll be interesting to track what so much substantially higher in those more compact urban environments, downtown environments. It'll be interesting to track the purchase price versus the sales price if it does sell and see what that, means to the local economy there, but it is a big deal, and it's kind of interesting to know to try to project what it might be reused for. It's an office building now. It's been an office building for years. It'd be nice if another offices go back in there, but people are coming to the counter trying to figure out what else can go in there because the office market is oversaturated and don't really need an office in today's economy for the way you used to. So it's a real interesting thing to see what's going to happen with the future of that building.
Sorry, Neil, what property is this?
That's 10 Front Street.
If you're facing the historical museum, okay. It's to the left.
Oh, okay. Directly across the street from LaSalle Market.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And that's the old admin building?
The old admin building.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
That's a surprise. We got a lot of restaurants going on in the shops. Building officials very busy down there. You got the Ramen Place. You got the Shake Shack. You got the Wonder Kitchen. A couple other things going on there. Still getting a lot of activity on 75 Old Canton Road, the auction barn. I don't know if something happened, but that's being got a lot of speculation, like I reported last month. 55 Dowd is also getting speculation. That's the two families that Carriers got approved last year. Haven't heard anything on 3842 Dowd, although I know it was purchased not too long ago, but I haven't heard anything as far as, as a party bought an interest in actually doing the development.
These guys showed an interest in the auction barn?
I don't know. I know they have certainly showed an interest in, for what they're looking to invest, they've definitely reached out to a lot of property owners on the periphery. I can't say if they've actually reached out to that one or not. But several other entities have been looking at it, so maybe it's a more competitive situation, I suppose.
In talking about peripheral properties, the two shacks on the other side of Dowd from Canton Village. What is the disposition of those now?
That if the ones directly south, right, on the other side of Dowd?
Yes.
Yeah, those are the ones that got bought by a member of the Carrier family, and they got approval through Wetlands and Planning and Zoning to put two family
units. Oh, so they got approval through Wetlands, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, they're looking to do more, but there's a lot of constraints there. A lot of constraints, including DOT drainage, that eats up a lot of the property. So, but that's the one I was mentioning that people are calling about now again.
What about that old furniture shop that is on 44 that is quickly becoming more of an eyesore?
We have daily.
It almost seems like it's intentional.
Yeah,
when you drive by and look at like
the furniture emporium,
it seems habitual to me. We've had daily fines going on that under zoning enforcement for several months now. We're at the point I think the town attorney might be taking an additional action in the near future.
Yeah,
but there's an accrual occurring there that is starting to rack up.
Yeah, he's done this before.
Yep.
This guy.
Yeah.
You mentioned restaurants in the shops. Is anything about where 110 was?
I don't know the exact storefronts that all of them are going into, so I can tell you which one's going in there out of the different ones. So I know Shake Shack's going to be next to
where the Sleep Number
was going in, where the vitamin shop was.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think Wonder is going where AT&T used to be.
At
and
the
I
don't end, know. Yeah.
And I don't know where the ramen place is going.
I think it's going where. It's taking part of the Talbots, if I'm not mistaken. Okay.
Yeah. I still don't quite get the whole Wonder model. I'm anxious to check it out, but it's basically like a virtual food truck where they have arrangements with like 20 to 30 other commercial kitchens, like franchise. So you could go in there and order, if you want to order ribs from Chili's and, you know, wings from Outback or whatever, you can do something like that. Like I don't quite understand how they make it all work, but I'm kind of curious about it. It's a new model. So it's kind of interesting to see.
Yeah.
Maybe they're with Uber Eats or something like that.
Yeah. Who knows?
A ghost kitchen.
I don't quite have a good handle on it, so it's a new thing.
I think they look for like the best of the best.
Yeah.
So the best barbecue you can get, they partner somehow, some way with whatever restaurant that is, and they bring it to this space. How they replicate it. But it's a good question.
Yeah, that would be something. If they can get dinosaur barbecue, you know,
right? But if you had one of those in somewhere in the vicinity, wouldn't you rather draw people? If you were in that big of a demand, you'd rather draw people into your restaurant if you could.
Yeah.
You know, that's where I'm kind of. It depends on who they actually are working with.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
It's very interesting.
To be continued.
Yes.
The gas station that's closed. I forget what it was.
Sitco.
Nothing there.
No.
And of course, every month I ask Birdcote.
Yeah, Birdcote.
Did I report last month on that?
The sign, I think.
The
sign
is
now part of the Aldi sign.
Yeah, well, I think I don't remember if it was last month. I definitely said it for POCD.
You said something about they can't. Like they're advertising.
Well, we were going to. We were literally drafting an enforcement letter for an off-site business sign because basically. Technically, they're advertising a restaurant that's not inside Canton, right? They came in and met with us with their development team, their construction manager, their store operator, and their architect, and they were just trying to finalize what steps they need to do to get to construction. And I said, construction when? You know, seriously, like, you know, I tell them about the meetings I go to where I've been saying for 2 years, Birdcote's coming, nobody believes me. And they said, no, we're ready now, and they've opened up a lot of other stores, and they're, again, the example of a small business that's growing too quickly, but they seem like they're ready to hit the ground running. I had to confirm their approval was still statutorily valid, which it still is. They were lining up their site contractor, and I don't know, I mean, it was almost like an impromptu pre-construction meeting, which kind of surprised us inside the town hall, so... we'll see. When the meeting adjourned, I was like, okay, whatever. I'll believe it when you come back, you know, in less than a year.
Right.
But we'll see. It seemed to be a very positive sign that they're actually coming.
So, okay.
Yeah. They were very positive and very motivated, very aggressive in the meeting as far as making sure they had all their I's dotted and T's crossed.
Good to hear.
And behind UConn and CVS, seems like they're getting out of the ground, those folks?
Yeah, yep. They were held up as the building official was reviewing the foundation work. Again, it was a rough winter. Basically, my understanding is that they are moving ahead now. So,
okay. Well,
yeah, you can see the foundation when you drive into.
Oh, the foundation's there. I think they've got those little white pipes.
Building department is crazy busy right now too. I think he has 143 applications in his queue that he has still yet to review.
Wow.
And they're all different levels. A lot of it's home, decks, additions, things like that. But we are way over capacity at the moment, so we're trying to keep the flow going. But it's a very hot spring right now in the building department.
POCD?
Let's see. I originally reached out to you, Matt, because I thought we were going to have a combined meeting on June 1st with the POCD, and you could present a lot of the economic development interests. But that is no longer an option. We're going to be doing the grief meeting on May 26th to just finalize the scope of work for the RFP to hire a consultant to help do the actual public facilitation and writing. And that will be May, and I don't know what's going to happen with June or July. I'm thinking possibly EDA for the July meeting, and we sent a similar invitation to the Conservation Commission to present their work at a future meeting too. But once we get in the fiscal year, if the budget does pass at some point and the money for the POC update is included, we need to have that RFP ready to hit the ground running and get those consultants in and start that work, because it is a lengthy process.
Yep.
Okay. Anyone have any other comments? Airing of grievances?
May I? Is it too late to?
Sure. A quick one.
I belong to all the surrounding towns' Facebook pages because I like to know what's going on there. I happen to find this survey that was put on the Simsbury, Connecticut chatter from the shops at the Farmington Valley, asking what the residents would like to see in the shops.
I think I've seen that. Yeah, I've seen this. I don't know where I saw it. I'm not connected to Simsbury, but I've seen this somewhere else as well. Did you fill it out?
No.
We've gotten these a couple times in my house in Canton, where we've signed up for kind of the what's going on at the shops and stay involved, where they send that around. And we've taken it a couple times, but
I looked at all the connected Canton ones. I didn't see
there was nothing posted on that. I think it's open to everybody.
I saw it somewhere, locally, like in a Canton one.
Well, I searched for their Canton.
Or maybe it was just the shops. Instagram page or whatever it was, but I have seen this. Yeah. At least they're looking for community feedback. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Adjourn at 7:55.
Okay.